WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Dan Tucker, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. If you're looking to buy a home, you know it's expensive out there. In fact, home prices have been rising faster in Chicago than in every other U.S. city, except for New York. To explain why prices are so high and what could be next for our local housing market, we chatted with Crane Chicago Business residential real estate reporter, Dennis Rodkin. We began by discussing why prices are so high. Here's Dennis.
Well, really, what's high is the rate of growth. Because we are, though people who are in the market to buy a house may not feel it, we are far more affordable than most other cities. And that's one of the reasons our prices are rising so much. We didn't boom nearly as much. We boomed, but didn't boom nearly as much price-wise during the pandemic housing boom. A lot of those places are starting to fade. And we aren't. We're rising faster. And we also, when you combine elevated interest rates with rising prices, we're still easier to buy in than a lot of those other cities. That's not to say it's not hard to buy a house. It's just that we're essentially victims of our own success. Chicago has always been one of the most affordable markets, big city or medium-sized city in America. That's been true for 50 years. And so we're still sort of, that's a good place to be, but it's also a difficult place to be because right now, as I said, with rising interest rates, with very tight inventory, so people have to bid up to get a house, our prices are rising pretty fast, but they're not at the ceiling that other people had already hit.
Yeah, when I talk to friends in, say, San Francisco, LA, Washington, New York, I mean, the prices that people pay for real estate there is insane. Do you think we could be moving with these price increases towards being in that tier of cities where it's that expensive?
We have a long way to go to get to that point. Our prices have stayed so low for so long compared to those other cities that we would really have to have a gigantic boom. And while our prices are still going up, they're going up slower than they were. It's just that the slowdown is less than the slowdown in those places. So the gap is not really in prices right now. The gap is between growth rates. We're growing considerably faster than the nation's prices or than the prices in those individual cities you mentioned. But it would take a very long time. Our prices doubled in the course of about 25 years. And in most big cities, prices doubled in the course of about 10 to 12 years. We've just got a lot of air still in our market, which is comforting if you're a buyer.
Yeah. And what kind of situation is that leading to for, say, a first-time home buyer or someone who maybe wants to go from a starter home and their family is growing and they're trying to move into something bigger? Is it really tough for them to find exactly what they're looking for right now?
It is very hard to find what you're looking for. It would be harder for that first-time buyer than for the second category you mentioned, because the people who are moving up at least have a nice big chunk of home equity that has developed in their house as its value has grown. The value of the house they want to move to may have moved faster, but they at least have something to start with for a down payment. If you are a first-time buyer, the difficulty is you've been saving toward a down payment, if you have been trying to save toward a down payment, and your affordability is running away because the price is going up, and at the same time, interest rates are not coming down. So it's becoming harder and harder for that first-time buyer. But part of what you asked is it hard to find a house? They're out there. One of the reasons our prices are going up is that there are bidding wars and that there's such low inventory that I, as a seller, know I can sit back and wait for a really good offer. I don't have to take the first offer that comes along. The first offer that comes along on the first day, I can call for higher offers, and in the first several days, I'm likely to sell it. One of the reasons there's so little inventory on the market is that the great majority of homeowners bought when interest rates were in the 3.5, 4% range. For the past few years, they've been in the 7% range, 6.5 to 7% range. And so I don't want to trade away my house with that really great mortgage and take both a higher mortgage and a higher price and have to pay so much more for a home. So I'm just not putting my home on the market, which leaves that first-time buyer, which leaves everyone, but in particular the first-time buyer, with far fewer choices.
Yeah. Yeah, there's I think, this idea that the person who has the 2.85% mortgage rate is just not going to move to a 7% mortgage rate. But there's also an idea out there that if it persists for a few more years here at that rate, people won't have a choice. Do you feel like it's moving in that direction, that people are becoming more comfortable with the higher mortgage rate?
I do. You know what an agent said to me the other day? Young people who just get into the market right now, they don't even know those old mortgage rates. Somebody might say, oh, mortgage rates used to be higher, but they've come in a, someone might say those rates used to be lower, but they come in, interest rates have been high, their friends have been bought relatively high, I should say. 7% is not the 12% people were paying in the 80s, but their friends have bought at 7%, and I need a house. I got married, I had kids, we just can't stay in the condo or rental we've been in. I've got to do it, so I stretch. But I also think it's true that the people who've held on to the home because it has the low mortgage rate, at some point they have to let go. I have a two-story house and I'm aging and can't walk upstairs anymore. There are lots of other reasons that I might finally have to say, gee, this housing payment is really sweet, but the house doesn't work for us anymore.
Dennis, what is it like for someone who's trying to sell a home right now?
Really good. If your house is in good condition, because virtually no buyer now will buy a fixer-upper. That was sort of what you did, especially in the 80s when interest rates were so high. If your house is in good condition and you put it on the market with, you know, a reasonable price, you're not far too optimistically pricing the house, you're very likely to get multiple offers pretty quickly, because everybody who's out there in the market, they want to get a house because they really need to move, but also they know that it's likely to just get more expensive as time goes on. We have not seen that interest rates are going to come down in 2025. It's actually likely that they will either stay where they are or go up some if inflation kicks in because of tariffs and other things. So people really want to get something. They want to get something. So when you put it on the market, you're very likely to get quick action.
Yeah. And what are you hearing from realtors right now? You know, we're in February. It's not exactly the hot time for buying or selling homes. But once we get to the spring, summer, that tends to be, you know, when we're seeing more sales. What do they see coming? Are they optimistic about what we could see this summer?
They are. Actually, tonight I will be at a forecasting event where real estate agents get together and say, here's what I expect. But a lot of what they're saying is, People are acclimating to these interest rates and saying, you know, we've got to move. I'm tired of this house. I was ready to move a few years ago. I've got to go. So that inventory will come on the market. And it's also clear to people that a deal can be made, that they can get a pretty good price. So trading off that interest rate, even though it might be painful, it may be a good idea. But a lot of agents are out there shaking the trees. Please, will you please put your house on the market? There's a lot of sale when it doesn't even come on the market. There's a lot of private market selling, because I already have buyers who are looking for a house just like yours. If you list it with me, I'm the real estate agent in this example. If you list it with me, I'm pretty sure I can get it sold for you without you having to put it on the market, without you having to get out of the house for showings, without you having to clean up those last few issues that are in the house. I can probably get it sold for you now, and there's an ease to that that makes it appealing.
And when we talk about inventory, you know, I wonder, are we building the right type of housing? It seems like what we've heard a lot in the U.S. is we have a lot of single family homes. You see this in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
A lot of single family homes, maybe the starter condo that's like a one bedroom, but there's not always the two or three bedroom smaller house or apartment that people might need.
I would actually shorten your question, Dan, to are we building the housing that we need?
Not even enough.
The Illinois is one of the last on the list for building new housing. All over the country, we're not building enough. And in Illinois, it's pronounced. There are a lot of reasons for that. High taxes, huge number of ordinances and bureaucratic loopholes that builders have to jump through. And there's also, there's not the same energy to build a $400,000 condo as there is to build a super fabulous $4 million house and show it off. The other factors are bigger, but that is one as well. So we're not building enough. Governor Pritzker just announced in December, and there's new legislation that has come out this month that should facilitate construction of more of those kinds of homes you're talking about, the missing middle. What we're seeing is legislation that says, first it said no more single family zoning. Now what the legislation says is that that's sort of hard for people to swallow, but any residential lot should be available for multi-unit development. Just a slight difference in the language, but the point is, let's get away from building those single-family homes that are very hard to afford. Maintenance is hard to afford. You're buying a big piece of land, relatively. Let's put multiple units on there, and it brings the price down for those buyers. But these are all incentive. The governor has said he wants to have it happen. This legislation would enable that happening, but the pipeline still isn't chugging, and it really needs to get going. We need hundreds of thousands of units of housing to bring prices down, as well as to get people housed.
We've been speaking with Dennis Rodkin of Crane Chicago Business. He's also Reset's What's That Building contributor. Dennis, thank you so much for the breakdown.
Thanks, Dan.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and edited by me. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. Here on Reset, we bring you the latest on what's going on in our city with nuanced, curious conversations and analysis with local experts. To stay in the know, you can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or go to WBEZ.org to listen. I'm Dan Tucker, in for Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you later today.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.